Now from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
So the big bank culture report, what do you make of it?
Yes, so 37-page document. So it's relatively concise, actually, if you think about it, that we've been waiting and waiting and waiting on this report, and it's only 37 pages. I mean, Mike, we really didn't know what was going to be in that review, but I certainly, and I think generally people didn't expect any sort of grave systemic issues would be found, and I still think that's a reasonable assessment. So no naming and shaming of the 11 banks of who was doing what. It's all done at a very high level. There are some... hard recommendations, but it's mostly strong guidance as opposed to what I would call impositions. If we look at the report itself, only a small number of issues relating to poor conduct, that's their words, but issues relating to system or process weaknesses were more commonplace. Quite a bit of commentary around governance and management of conduct risk, and also about how proactive the banks and board and management are in identifying and remediating those conduct issues and risks. The recommendations, I think, are a bit of a mixed bag, though, in terms of specificity. I mean, the board ownership and accountability, no specific objectives or directives there, but there is strong guidance, and there's also what I would call negative guidance there. In other words, if the board can't find any evidence of misconduct, they've got to run around and ask why. Are their controls not strong enough, or are their people not bad enough? They've got to strengthen their processes and controls. There were specific guidelines around sales incentives. So they have to remove sales incentives linked to sales measures, or at least make significant changes. What they've done so far isn't enough. They've got to deliver their plans by March 2019 and implement those changes to the incentive programs no later than the first financial year after September 2019. And I actually think that's a very valid observation you just got on the text. I mean, if they're taking sales incentives out of the banking industry, which other industries should sales incentives not be there? There's an option for the banks not to remove them, but I think but you've then got to have very strong systems in place. I think most boards would be very reluctant to do that. Look, I think the review's taken a strong line in places, Mike, but there aren't a lot of specific recommendations. So compliance with the recommendations or the guidance may be open to interpretation. They've restricted the review to conduct, so it's not really commented on profitability. I think this would be called a gentle review, Mike, compared to the Australian report.
I'd call it a bus ticket, and it's damp.
Yes.
Now, so Adrian Orr puts that in his drawer, and then he turns his attention to monetary policy and the cash rate.
That's right, he ticks that one off. So, yeah, we've got the monetary policy statement, so it's not just review the official cash rate. So big excitement for monetary policy followers. This is on Thursday. Firstly, no change expected in the official cash rate, complete consensus there. But the tone of the MPS and forward guidance, that's going to be poured over very closely by those of us with an unhealthy interest in these things. You may recall at the last MPS, Mike, we had quite a significant change in tone. Yep. It was more dovish. It led to a weaker New Zealand dollar. I characterise as a sort of go for growth statement. But what's changed since that last MPS? Robust growth. We expected 0.5 for the quarter, we got 1%. Inflation near the 2% target midpoint. Employment running at what is now referred to as the maximum sustainable rate, or close to it. Weaker New Zealand dollar, bit of volatility in share markets. We've got moderating global growth. We've got the trade tensions have deepened. Housing market now showing signs of slowing. The region's sort of slowing in line with Auckland. The key issue for people watching the RB, do they de-emphasize this position that they've taken that the next cut could be up or down? I think the hurdle is pretty high for an interest rate cut at any point, but I have some sympathy with that view that we've got headwinds and tailwinds at the moment, and they're pretty balanced, and you know that equilibrium could tip either way. But so, look, I think it'll be an interesting one because we're still finding our way with Governor Orr as well.
We will talk about it Friday, obviously enough. What are the numbers?
Yeah. 25,389 on the Dow Jones. It's up 118, or 0.47%. S&P 500, 2730, up 7. The NASDAQ is actually down, though, because Apple is still under pressure. So the NASDAQ, 7283, down 74. FTSE 100, 7103, they're up 9. Nikkei, 21,898. They lost 344 points yesterday, so a bit of a fall there. Shanghai Composite, 2665, down 11. ASX 200, lost 31, 5818. And we lost 57 points on the NZX 50 yesterday, closing at 8778. On the currencies, one New Zealand dollar, 0.6659 against the US, 0.9253 Aussie, 0.5843 Euro, 0.5113 pounds, 75.37 yen. Gold trading at $1,229.77. And Brent crude, $73.25.
Have a good one, mate. Appreciate it as always. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth, and available to you at jmiwealth.co.nz.